Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, Mike Vrabel's up at the podium now.
And then, you know, his opportunities here, and you know, whether it's going after the fumble in Indianapolis or, you know, scrambling, and, you know, appreciate the level of competitiveness, and, you know, just realizing that, you know, those things that happen that maybe are negative aren't going to have any impact going forward. You know, what's the situation require? What's the call? You know, where am I going with my read and my progression on this particular play? So, you know, being able to process that and you know, move ahead is critical.
How contagious is his energy and fire, and how important is it to maybe have that from that position, especially with the team where your team is?
Well, I think the energy and fire, you know, is critical throughout, you know, the roster and the staff and the organization, and just being able to, you know, to do that. I think that, you know, leadership from the quarterback position is always going to be, you know, important. It's always going to be critical. Their ability to, you know, rally and inspire a football team, obviously, it's a critical position. So, you know, I think, you know, he'll continue to do that in his own particular way.
I think the physicality you play with early maybe helped set the tone for last night.
Oh, there was a lot of great individual efforts that probably, you know, go unnoticed. You know, a defense that's sitting on the sidelines that, you know, probably isn't planning on going out for an extra point on the pick six. You know, we got guys that are, you know, battling to try to block an extra point. Whether it's Nico or Weave or Arden, you know, I think set the tone, and then ultimately blocking the next field goal, you know, DeNico or Kayvon and sprinting 40 yards to tackle the running back on the 2-yard line in the red zone, which then forced them to run another snap, which they fumbled and we recovered. You know, DeNico at the end of the game, you know, coming out of the stack and tackling, you know, Oshane there on the side, which kept him in bounds and kept the clock running. You know, those things probably go unnoticed, and there's a lot of other ones as well. But those are the ones that stick out in my mind. So, you know, you have to play this game, you know, with a demeanor, with an attitude, with a willingness to play as hard as you possibly can and not, you know, and not think about, well, can I make the play or can I get there? You're going with the intent to get there.
Game, was it something that you wanted to do as far as getting Tajay involved in the passing game, or was that just something that just kind of
evolved? I think, you know, we try, you know, to get Tajay the ball, try to get Derek the ball, try to get Hop the ball, try to get Traylon and Chig. I mean, it's just kind of sometimes the way that the game goes, and, you know, we try to get him there, the ball backed up, and that didn't go very well. Liked some of the matchups. You know, I thought that the you know, the catch on third down, you know, was huge. Didn't convert, but, you know, Nate, you know, Tajay caught it, fumbled, got out of bounds. But, you know, the screen there at the end, you know, what was a big play to be able to go back to that and hit a screen to Tajay. So, again, he's helped us, you know, trying to get some conversions. And you saw that Will got it out of his hand and got it to Tajay, and he, you know, cut up and got a first down. And that's, you know, sometimes you have to do that and let players make a play as opposed to throwing it past the sticks and just saying, let's get the ball out of our hands and get it to a playmaker and see if they can tackle him.
He's leading the all-rookie running backs in yards from scrimmage. Is this usage, is that kind of what you envision when you guys selected him?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know, again, having him be able to go in there in training camp and protect, I think, was the first thing. They have to, you know, be comfortable with that. There you go. That's okay. Feliz Navidad. Spirit. No, you didn't. But I think, you know, you start there so that you don't always have to, you know, you can't free release him every time he's in there. That doesn't work, right? There, you have to stand in there and protect, and he showed that. I think he's worked hard at understanding route craft and getting open and being able to, you know, he's done a nice job catching the football. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the role that he's in now is kind of what we had envisioned, and that sometimes expands based on, you know, the game and where we're at.
How good was it to see the way Harrell played last night, especially in the fourth quarter, three sacks?
Yeah, I thought that those guys competed. They battled, did some good things down in the red zone when we needed to, and we played a little bit of base, and his ability to transition from an end to an outside linebacker and his versatility, and, you know, ran into a really nice, you know, stunt there where he went inside, picked, and drove and got the sack and was very active. And, you know, that was, you know, we need our best players to play good in order for us to win.
How critical was your open field tackling, especially in the secondary last night?
Well, I think it could have been better. I think that they've got some guys that are pretty fast, and I think we rallied and guys ran to the football, so the misses weren't probably as glaring. You know, we fit up a couple of those runs just like we wanted to. You know, they just kind of got the corner to us, and, you know, that probably led to a few double-digit drives. But I think all in all that they tackled, we contained them. You know, longest gain, I think, was probably 25 yards. They had a handful of 15-yarders, but, you know, didn't have the top-off ones.
As far as the team overall, I mean, playoff status probably doesn't change too much, but what's most gained, do you think, in terms of the long run for the team? What do you pick up most from a game like that?
Well, I think just that it can go in different directions. You know, it starts out one way, and, you know, things aren't going great for you. You stick around, you make it close, you finish the half off real positive with a stop, and, you know, a field goal there to end the half, and, you know, playing the type of game that you want, and then mistakes happen, and you don't shut it down. You find ways to get stops, and, you know, the defense, you know, allowed us to do that, you know, to be able to get those guys stopped in three plays and have our timeouts, and, you know, then get another stop again at the end when, you know, they need the field goal. So I would say very complimentary in all three phases, but then, you know, everybody was able to overcome, you know, whatever mistakes that the other units made. And that's what a team's about, and I appreciate that about them.
Sean Murphy Bunny, one of those guys, he seemed like he dealt with some adversity and responded well to it at times, too. How'd you assess maybe his?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, I think that's the mentality that you have to have, especially playing corner. You know, they throw it on you, they catch it, you come back and, you know, challenge and line up again and play. And, you know, that was what he did. And so, you know, you have to, you know, that's the only thing that you can focus on is moving forward and, you know, how you're going to respond. And by playing a corner in this league, they're, you know, they're going to throw the ball. And if you get it caught on you, just have to come back and keep working and keep challenging and have that resolve to finally make a play.
Obviously adds a nice dimension, but I believe last week after the helicopter, you talked about him being careful, and then he was throwing his shoulder around a couple different occasions yesterday. How do you kind of use that element to temper the injury risk?
I don't know. I think we're still trying to work on that. We showed him examples of quarterbacks sliding and using the rules to their advantage. I guess we'll have to show them examples of quarterbacks not sliding and getting the shit knocked out of them. So we're going to try the other way this week.
So, I mean, did you point to all the quarterbacks who are out? I mean, like, half the league is down at this point.
I mean, it just, you know, he knows it, and we all know it. You know, we'll have to keep working on it, keep reminding him. But
when you guys, you know, really shoot yourself in the foot twice there at the end of the game, suddenly the odds are really stacked against you. What was the message on the sideline, and maybe what does it say about the resolve of your team that they stayed in it and then ultimately won the game?
Yeah, just, you know, I think to the leadership that we have out there, to the guys that, you know, just go and play the next snap and say, hey, you know, we're going to need two scores, so we better get this first one quick. And they did. We hit a couple plays. And, yeah, I felt like they were just excited about being in that football game. And the whole plan was obviously to, you know, to put them in a game and find a way to win it late. And we did that for the most part. And then, you know, had to kind of go off script there a little bit, and which was great to see us be able to move the ball quickly in a no-huddle situation, and then get the two-point conversion and then get the stop on defense and, you know, go back down and score. So those are all the situations that we cover. Those are things that we talk about. You know, we're able to keep our timeouts, which, you know, really gives you an advantage when you can get them stopped there and use your timeouts and use the clock.
Over the last couple of years, a lot of times how this team is not really suited for the big drop back game, but then when you had to have it in the fourth quarter last night, it was there and you were able to, you know, use it and be successful. How much of it is that a sign of growth?
I think that we've always done, you know, we've been capable in those 2 minute situations. And, you know, when I talk about drop back, I mean, you can look and study, even the Miami Dolphins, when you look at their first and second down passing, it's not a drop back passing game, right? It's play action. There's play passes, and they do a nice job. It's not like five guys are out in the route. And that's, you know, I guess sometimes that when you go to that mode, it makes it difficult. So I think that we were able to marry, you know, even on the big one to Hop, we were able to kind of chip our way out and get some layers and get some levels. So I think that's the balance of, you know, being able to move the football down the field, but also, you know, be able to protect and help protect the quarterback and the offensive line when, you know, those you know, there's good front there, they're active front, very, you know, good rushers. And so, you know, there's a good balance there.
How'd you like your new punter did?
Yeah, I thought Ty was great. You know, did a nice job with his hang time, with his location, operated with the snap, and, you know, seemed confident and, you know, really liked being around him, and, you know, he was excited to be a part of the victory.
Was Gilbert completely healthy last night, or just coach's decision?
You know, he's been, yeah, I mean, you know, Brunny's been, you know, Brunny battles and competes and, you know, just late in the season and trying to get some, you know, a bigger bodied in there and just try to rotate through with Calvin and, you know, help him out there. And Bernie was back in there late, had a huge block on the screen and did some nice things. So, you know, just kind of where we're at, trying to wanted to take a look at Calvin, and it communicated that with Bernie there, you know, during the week.
How Calvin do?
He was good. I mean, he had some good plays, and, you know, again, that's some plays we'd like to have back with everybody, especially, you know, just working some combinations in a run game and needing to be better there.
Pre-snap penalties continue to be an issue with some repeat offenders at this point. What's the disconnect there? Like, what has to happen to clean that up?
I don't know. I don't jump offside. So when you have an opportunity to ask the players, you could ask them where the disconnect is with the music, the crowd noise, the cadence that we use at practice. But I don't, you know. I jumped off sides plenty when I was playing, so I don't know. I'm with you. You know, I mean, it's like, it's frustrating to see whether they're locked in and, you know, and there's Simon or a pass rush, and we went through the week where it was the third down escapade, and, you know, we just, not to, you know, it's just, I guess, just frustrating that those are mistakes that, you know, we can't make, and overcome second and 15 or first and 15.
Even though he shouldn't have been in the area, when you watch the film, was there any interference with Gare as he was trying to field the punt there? Did you see?
It just need to get some clarification on the, being able to grab the guy's arm or play through the returner, once the ball hits. So, again, in traffic, that's still not a decision, that we want to make. There's times where, you get a favorable hop in the middle of the field and, there's no, we're not in traffic. And, again, we've seen those where, you square it up and, you get a good bounce and you can take it. Coming over there from the side and not being that just not a favorable look for us to want to field that punt off the bounce there. And those are times where you could see the players or returners take the bounce and get some yards. That would be a situation where we would not want to do that.
How critical to get over that hump? I mean, I would assume as the losses pile up, it becomes a mental hurdle.
We weren't really talking about that. It was more about what we needed to do. It wasn't, we haven't won on a road. It was like, there's a lot of reasons why you don't win, and it's all the mistakes. And, those are still there, unfortunately. And we made it harder on ourselves than what it had to be. But we made more plays in the end when we had to in the critical situations.
I think it's the first time we scored over 16 points on the road in like a calendar year. I mean, that despite the mistakes, that's still big growth for your team.
Sure. Yeah, being able to go down there and score in a red zone and our ability to force the number one offense in the red zone to kick field goals was the factor in the game, even all the mistakes that we had. When you get down to, looking at why we won, we forced the best red zone team in the league to kick field goals.
Stayed as kind of hype man in warm-ups. Is that something he wanted to do?
That was something that he wanted to do, and I'm, trying to recognize his role and his leadership and being, willing to be in it on the sidelines and be engaged and support in any way that he can while he's out.
It's always an element of keeping the faith. When a team does something that's not been done in forever with those – winning in the 3 minutes down 14 in regulation, is there a jarring feeling like, whoa, we can do
this? I think you probably need, you talk about confidence, like, we go through this all the time when we ask, are they confident? Well, if you can go out and you do it, that's how you build confidence. And whether that's in practice or most importantly the games, you have to be able to see those things and have small victories. And, so for our football team, I think that's a huge opportunity to see us compete, to find ways to win the game and as opposed to finding ways to lose it. Trying to eliminate some of the bad football still, that the things that are going to get you beat. But they stuck around, and we were the ones that made the plays in a critical situation.
Chig Okonkwo, talking to him, a lot of the work he's putting in after practice, he feels like that's giving him confidence. From your perspective, especially after seeing what he did last night, how do you respond to that, or do you think that's the case?
Yeah, again, he's the one that puts the work in, and Tony works extremely hard with that group, and we ask Chig sometimes to chip, but we also try to find him the football. Down the field, I thought the screen was well designed. I thought it was well blocked. I thought he did a nice job, versus the press to be able to push him off, come back. I thought Dylan did a nice job. And we got to keep finding ways to get Chig the football. Had a contested catch there that caught in traffic and got hit. Picked up another first down and, late in the game. So, and the more that he can help us, the better.
Aside from the plays DeAndre makes on the field, how big of an impact has he made maybe on Will, maybe in players around him in that role?
Well, I think that would be best, discussed with Will. But I know that, having a guy that you feel like you can go to when you have to have it probably is a good feeling. And Hop's done that. He's come up big. He's got a good feel of, you know, where to be on certain routes and his timing and his ability to make plays on the sideline. Very sure-handed, and so he's. I think he's helped us in a lot of regards, but I think that Will may be able to express that better than I can, and what he means to the quarterback.
From his perspective, like knowing how explosive that offense is, does that change a lot of the things you and the keys that you have to focus in on going against, you know, guys like Waddle and Hill?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to sit there and, you know, be pressed and, you know that the ball is going to go over your head or going to go, you know, that's where it's going. Try to defend from the top of the numbers to the top of the numbers. Did that sometimes, didn't sometimes. They, you know, transitioned and threw a few balls outside, which that's what they were going to, you know, said that if they do that, then, you know, give them credit and we'll go from there. But we know what it was going to look like if, and they were able to hit the first read inside and, make them drive it, and find ways to get the drive stop was ultimately what we kept preaching to everybody on defense the entire week, whether that was on third down, which we did, fourth down there at the end, and then the few times in the red zone. So I think they embraced that and really executed that well.
Burks had a shot at that long pass in completion. Or I guess I should say, did you think that he might have been able to pull that in?
Every time, I think the attitude is every time that the ball's in the air, we got to expect that it's ours. So whether it's that one or another play to DeAndre or another pass, like, you know, that's the mentality that we have to take, is that, you know, we have to go make a play on the football until we don't. So, you know, we'll keep, you know, working those and trying to hit them and help us, you know, gain momentum and critical field position, down the field.
Why is it so hard to get him going?
There's a lot of factors. I think just where the football goes and, you know, we tried to throw him the screen out there early in the game and, you know, they defended it. We didn't block it particularly well and threw a shot to him. You know, so he's running hard and working, and, you know, the ball went somewhere else.
With Hopkins, what, in your opinion, what about his skill set makes him so unique and effective?
I think he's got great body control. I think he's got, Hop's got a good understanding of the game and just, you know, a feel for setting things up and attacking leverage and being patient when he needs to be patient. You know, coming out of breaks when he needs to come out with a certain pace, and he's seen all different coverages. He's seen everything, and you know, whether that's the ability to come back on the back shoulder or, you know, find holes or seams in the defense.
Was maybe your challenge to players, I guess, Mike, coming off an emotional win on a short week, to kind of forget about it and now focus on Houston?
Yeah, focus on winning at home in the division. And you know, every week is a new challenge, and, you know, they went on the road and didn't have their best performance. I'm sure they'll be ready for us like they always are, and, you know, we're going to have to, get healthy. We'll have to get prepared and, you know, build towards Sunday.
With the time, had things pretty buttoned up on special teams for you? I don't think you gave up much at all in the return game.
I think we can always cover kickoffs better. I thought we punted well. I thought Colton Dow continues to really factor on the punt game, beat the double vice a few times, and we're able to cause some fair catches. And, you know, a guy like Roger McCrary that's chasing receivers around and goes out there and plays on a, you know, punt return, you know, those are guys that, you need more guys like that. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. That was Mike Vrabel at the podium. He touched on one thing. He just asked about special teams there. I thought punting was pretty solid. But there was an obvious snafu on special teams yesterday. Eric Gehr muffing the punt. Want to get into what D-May saw there and special teams as a whole coming up next. We'll also get back into your phone since it is a Titans Tuesday. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
When you watched the film, was there any interference with Gare as he was trying to field the punt there?
Just need to get some clarification on the, you know, I mean, being able to grab the guy's arm or play through the returner, you know, once the ball hits. So, again, in traffic, that's still not a decision, you know, that we want to make. There's times where, you know, you get a favorable hop in the middle of the field and, you know, there's no, you know, we're not in traffic. And, again, we've seen those where, you know, you square it up and, you know, you get a good bounce and you can take it. You know, coming over there from the side and not being that just not a favorable look for us to want to field that punt off the bounce there. And those are times where you could see the players or returners take the bounce and get some yards. That would be a situation where we would not want to do that.
Yeah, definitely not a favorable look for the Titans with Eric Guerra trying to field that punt off of the bounce. Fourth quarter. Tie game. They just blocked a field goal, so I'm thinking, man, Titans special teams, what a 180 from last week where special teams cost you against the Indianapolis Colts. You block a field goal. I'm thinking, all right, Tom Quinn has arrived. Tie game, fourth quarter. Eric Guerra muffs the punt, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, here we go. The Titans are going to turn around and tighten themselves. They're going to throw this game away off of a bunch of silly mistakes. But, Willie, you brought up a fair point yesterday, and I'm with you, that I was, after that muffed punt, I was looking for the flag because there was clear contact made with the Dolphins defender and Eric Ayers' arm. He kind of swatted his arm down there. D-Mace, if you could walk us through the rule there and the muffed punt from Eric Guerra. And it was funny seeing Jeffrey Simmons on the sideline. They panned to him, and he's looking just in shock, like, oh, my gosh, did that just happen? I think we were all kind of feeling that as well.
Now, listen, rules could have changed, but to my understanding, you are protected when the ball's in the air. So if you call a fair catch.
The returner
is. So when you call for a fair catch, they got to allow you to catch the ball. They've changed the rules now. I guess they really already always had the rule. You had to give a guy at least a half a step to catch the football before you made contact with them. The rules may have changed now because of concussions and all that. You don't see too many returners getting ran through, you know, like they were back in the day. But I think once the ball hits the ground, and I could be wrong on this, but I think once the ball hits the ground, you lose that protection.
So they can make contact with the returner.
That's why when the ball hits the ground, the returner is telling everybody to get away from it. And he is taught, like, if you can't if you can't make a clean catch after the bounce, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Because I think now that protection of you not being able to be touched, it goes away. And, you know, that's why if the ball hits the ground as a defender, I'm allowed to push the returner into the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ball's it's a live ball in a sense, but it's not like it hits the ground and I get to recover it as a punt team and it's my ball. It's a live ball, meaning like those protections go away now. If you're around the ball, I can push you into the ball, whatever. And if you touch it or anybody else touch it on your team, I can pick it up and now I can either you can't advance a muff. But if somebody hits it, if it touches somebody, you can pick it up.
Right.
And I think that's what happened on that one. He did grab his arm. I think it was so quick that maybe the refs didn't see it, and you can't go back and look at replay to make a call. But I think, too, once the ball hits the ground, you lose that protection of nobody can touch me.
Yes.
That's why Vrabel didn't make a big fuss about it, I think.
Right. But it was interesting. He gave an interesting answer when – Terry McCormick asked about that play because some of you may have noticed. I wondered that myself. Don't tell anybody. I videoed it off the TV. Just that the couple of those still shots.
Oh, Willie, NFL police is going to come for you.
I just asked the question. Is that legal? What he did, because it seemed to me. Now let's set aside, as Mike Vrabel said, that when there's traffic like that, the risk reward is not worth it. You might as well just get out of the way. What he's trying to do, it looks like, is I'm going to save us from maybe having this ball bounce out at the 3, and if I can just snag it and go out of bounds at the 11 or 12, that's and I look, it bounced up. I think I can take it. I'm not sure if he didn't see the guy right next to him, but what he's trying to do is just grab it. He's near the sideline, so if he bobbles it, he can probably guide it out of bounds, right? And again, bad decision. Mm-hmm. But the guy does grab his arm. Mm-hmm. Like, he makes it impossible for him to catch it with two hands. So from what I'm told, once the ball bounces, it cannot be, by rule, kick-catch interference.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering is that really fair? Like, is this one for the competition committee, right? Should you have a fair opportunity to field the ball without getting held like that? Or like you said, D-Mays, pushed into the ball. Mm-hmm. I just wonder about that. I don't mm-hmm. – like, there's case things that come up. Like, NHL is famous for them. There's so many that come up, like, well, I've never seen it quite like that.
Yeah.
And they end up talking about it all summer and try to figure out, do they need to add something? So they call it a case book. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I felt bad for him because, mm-hmm. number one, it was a terrible moment in the game.
Yeah.
But the announcers never mentioned that he does get his arm grabbed by the Dolphins player. Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, again, and I could be wrong on this. I think once the ball hits the ground, those rules don't apply anymore.
And I think that's what, if you saw the interaction between Mike Vrabel and Eric Guerra on the sideline, I think that's what Eric Guerra was telling him, was they grabbed my arm, and to which Mike Vrabel responded,
I don't give a bleep.
Care.
You got to get away from the ball.
Yeah.
Don't put yourself in that situation.
It.
Exactly.
And
it's not worth the extra 6 yards or whatever you're going to get.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the two sides of it. Of I was confused about why they were allowed to do that, but also at the same time, Eric Guerra, get away from it.
Yeah.
Don't touch the football. And you even saw Tom Quinn on the sidelines. Irate that he even put himself in the position to make contact with the football.
Because he just came up with a big stop. You're going to get the ball back. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It led to a very dramatic ending that we'll not forget anytime soon. So it was a great play.
But then again, we got to look
set
at
up chaos.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
Now, that the special teams had its blunders. But I think the biggest play of the game, if you look at the game, the biggest play was the blocked field goal.
The blocked field goal
was
huge.
That was huge because now the Titans are down 10 points or 9 points, and they need more. They need to score. They need 2-point conversion, and they need to get the ball back. So that blocked field goal was huge. It didn't seem huge, you know, when it happened, but as you started to watch the game started getting closer. Titans go for 2. Now it's becoming a game, and you can go back to that blocked field goal. I don't know who blocked it.
Was it Autry that blocked it?
May have been Autry.
It may have been Autry, which means he had a hell of a game.
It was Autry.
It was Autry. Yes.
It was his tip of his career, by the way, I believe.
He had a hell of a game. And he's had a really good game the past 3 games. He showed up. But that blocked field goal, I know special teams did have their blunder, but I think that blocked field goal was huge for the Titans.
I thought the punter was very good.
He had a different
type of punter than Stonehouse, mm-hmm. Molestar. Stonehouse is pretty unique, but he had some great hang time, and they had no way of returning any of his punts. So the net result was pretty good.
He bailed him out on that. One of them where it was the game was tight, and they needed a good punt. And I'm like, man, is this kid going to get it off, young kid, mm-hmm. you know, in this situation? And he kicks a high ball, and I think he pinned him down like with like the 20, 25, somewhere around there. But it was just him getting the ball off, getting a good kick under those situations.
What did we make of the offensive line last night?
You know, one of my biggest things last night, or yesterday going into the game, was whether or not they won the game. And it's great that they won. And part of me was thinking, well, you know, worst case scenario, if they go down and kick the field goal and you lose by 1, you're – with the Giants winning and some of these other teams that have been losing, mm-hmm. you still maintain, and the Bears have been winning. Like, all of a sudden, you're in the top 5, but yet you could still sit there and say, man, you're really competing here. You're still playing hard. But it's great to have the winning feeling, so I'm not apologizing for the win at all.
It's not
Mike Vrabel. That's a great notch in your belt if you're Will Levis and all that stuff.
Especially with the way that they played.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To play so many good teams close and still fall short, that has got to just wear away at a locker room.
But to me, the very important thing is, it's one thing for D. DeAndre Hopkins and Derrick Henry to lead you and Danico Autry to lead you, that's great. You know, but those are the guys that are probably on the back nine of their career. So I wanted to see what can you take out of there that you can take into next year. Obviously, Levis's performance for sure. Spears, big breakthrough. I saw Harold Landry getting better last night. Yeah. That's a big thing that comforts me a little bit if I'm Rand Carthon. And then there's Duncan, you know, if you're left tackle. Is he the best? No, he's not going to turn into one of the greatest of all. He's not Brad Hopkins, but I thought the pass protection anyway was fairly reasonable after a certain point of the game. Like, I thought they were going to collapse like they had in the previous two games where they went down to Florida, down to the Bucs, where they just could not protect them. They had no chance of running offense. Same kind of thing in Jacksonville. But as the game wore on, all of a sudden, Levis had time, and he's able to get the ball down the field and find some things. Now, they didn't run block nearly as well.
No, run block was
horrendous. They got a long way to go there. Yeah. But I'm concerned particularly with Duncan. Do you have a piece there? Like, Chigakonkwo took a step forward, right? And there's like, wow, all of a sudden, maybe there's hope that he's coming around a little bit. These are the things I think that are the most important things from now until the end of the season.
Well, I got to see more from Duncan. That offensive line, from a run standpoint, blocking it right now.
Brutal.
The pocket got collapsed too many times.
And Will Levis bailed himself out of a few of those.
He bailed himself out a few times. So, yes, they got the win. But, again, like Shannon Sharp said, I'm not going to accept in a win what I don't accept in a loss. That offensive line, I mean, they are who they are. You just hope that they stay healthy moving forward. They don't need any more injuries to that offensive line. But, you know, they did what they had to do when that time came. Like,
right.
those last two drives, the offensive line did just enough to make sure that they put themselves in a position to win that game.
They've got to cool it with the false start penalties.
Yeah.
Well,
that was that. Yes.
But I'll look at the positive. One of the examples that I saw, like, how often do you – I mean, you've seen it this year, the game in London. Malik Willis was sacked how many times? He was only
five times on six snaps.
Oh,
that
yeah.
has to be an NFL right. record.
And some of that was on him. But for the play for – and Ryan Clark broke it down after the game. I thought it was interesting. The deep cross to DeAndre Hopkins. That's a play where you need time for him to get across
the
field.
You need extra time.
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
extra time, and they gave him the
yes.
time. I a few weeks ago, I don't think they could have run that play. They had no chance of having enough time to do that play.
I think, and again, because when you're talking about this game, you got to talk about both sides of it. Whereas the Titans did the things that they needed to do necessary to win the football game, especially toward the end of the game, I think Miami – they sort of, I'm not going to say they gave him a game, but they played conservative on defense.
What, two consecutive run plays on that final
on
possession.
Offense, they played too
defense
conservative.
Defense, they didn't get a whole lot of pressure.
Exactly.
They tried to get pressure.
They tried to get at times, but other times they just expected, I'm telling you, they expect it because that offensive line is so bad. They expect that we can get to you with just rushing the pass or not blitzing, and we'll play coverage on the back end. Well, when you're playing coverage on the back end and you're playing off coverage, you're giving everybody free releases. And if you don't get to that quarterback, he's going to make you pay. And Will Levis made them pay because he got that extra second to throw the ball on those deep crosses or those shallow routes because they were playing too laxed in the secondary. They took for granted that they're the Miami Dolphins. They're this explosive team. When they wasn't reading the tea leaves here. They were not at the same game that the Titans were at. The Titans were like, this is a dogfight, and we're going to – Miami was sort of like – at times was like, okay. Like that. I don't understand, like – and the Titans does it sometimes, do it sometimes too when they're ahead and late in the game. Why are y'all playing this, like, pre-vet defense?
Yes, it drives me crazy.
That's why sometimes you almost wish the game is close, so you have to really play – instead of sick, because once you get comfortable, you're comfortable, and it's hard to get you out of that. And Miami got comfortable, and the Titans made them pay for it.
Yep.
Now the Titans went and took
it.
Exactly, Titans went and took it like they were supposed to. But also on the flip side, it's like Miami, there were some things that Miami did that that's why, I, you know, when we first started the show, I'm like, McDaniel, he may be a good coach, but there were some questionable things he did in that game that contributed to the loss. Now, again, the Titans took it when they needed to take it. But there are some things questionable that he did as a play caller and head coach that you sit and scratch your head like, why aren't you being more aggressive?
Right into your phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. They join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D-Mays at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 15 matchup against the Texans and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays. 1025 The Game has teamed up with Mookie Betts' AIM Foundation? Is it AIM Foundation? AIM Foundation?
Yep.
Okay. To help underprivileged members of our community, you can email bids in now at enteryourbids@gmail.com for either Mookie Betts t-shirts, hats, miniature Dodger baseball bats, Mookie Betts autographed baseballs, or a game day package that includes a $500 Southwest gift card, a Mookie Betts jersey, Dodgers and Dad Gang hats, two tickets to a Dodgers game in Los Angeles, and a photo op with Mookie Betts. Email bids in now at enteryourbids@gmail.com. That's a pretty good gift.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I really hope.
What do I have Mookie on?
Well, his bowling event is Friday.
Okay.
So we're going to try to have him on. On one of the shows on Friday for sure, but we'll have to ask him about his new teammate, Mr. Otani,
who's
with the strangest contract I've ever seen.
Freddie Freeman, Otani, and Mookie
his
Betts
contract is awesome though.
That's pretty crazy.
His contract is awesome.
$700 million.
Yeah, but no, it's deferred. So from $680 million to 40 something, he's going to average like $68 million a year.
Him and but Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, but from next year to like 2031, he just averaged $2 million per year.
2034 to be exact.
2034,
and he'll it's be like 48 years old. Year. He'll be 48 years old when he gets all of his money in full.
So think about the circus and the show that's going to be at Dodger Stadium with Otani. So this bid package that Diana, Mookie's mom, of course, Mookie grew up, for those that are newer to town, grew up here in Nashville, went to Overton High School. So they put this package together where you get $500 to fly out there, and then once you get there, and I've done it before. I've seen it happen. Diana will roll out the red carpet.
You'll
meet and greet. You'll get on the field for batting practice, all of these things. So if you want to go see Dodger Stadium, which is one of the greatest venues in baseball for sure, get in on those bids. Where do you go again for the bid?
You go to enteryourbids@gmail.com or – this is just a typo. I think it's enteryourbids@gmail.com.
Okay, but do you go to our website to
in now.
You can go to our website to find it?
I'm sure you can. I have not double-checked.
I'll just double-check.
Yeah, but I'm sure you can.
This is going to be up all week, so you're going to get your bids in. That people know how to do it strategically here.
Wait until the last.
I'm not saying. But that is one option you can do.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to have until Friday to put it together. But I would. It's a great cause.
Yeah.
They always go at Christmas time and find some organizations through the AIM Foundation that really need some help.
Really
this
cool.
Time of year. Yeah.
Really cool. So that is enteryourbids@gmail.com. This is a fantastic opportunity and really cool experience. But I want to get into your phones, your thoughts and takeaways from the Titans' win in Miami, which was not on my bingo card. I was being a Debbie Downer about it yesterday. Justin in Greenbrier, Texan says, I didn't watch most of the game. I was honestly just afraid to. The Titans played with energy and toughness that I haven't seen much this season. The muffed punt, though, y'all. Come on. Special teams 101. Get away from the ball when there are defenders in the area. That was frustrating. Just don't touch it.
Absolutely.
Clear the area.
We preface everything by saying that. I just felt bad. I feel like you should have a fair shot. And I don't know what all the nuances of the rule should be, what is fair, because I know you can't just slam into a guy.
Nah.
You know?
I mean, but once it hits the ground, it's a lot. Once it hits the ground, you lose all those protections, I believe, as a returner. So you can, you know, in that situation, grab a guy or touch a guy. Because if the ball hits the ground, it's rolling around, if I bump into you and you touch the ball, it's not interference on me.
Mm-hmm.
You should have got away from the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you lose that privilege of interference. right. once it hits the ground.
But they did play with toughness and excitement and energy that I questioned in some games that we've seen this season of just where is the energy on this team? Another texter texts in says the Titans won that game, not Coach Vrabel. He stood on the sideline with his awful smirk of disappointment for most of the game, and he was equally surprised when they won. He had no part in that accidental win last night.
Accidental? No. I mean, they went out and they did the things on defense they needed to do, mm-hmm. which means they kept the game close. They kept things in front of them. Now, you know, as a Miami fan, you can say, well, we didn't have – our best player, and you're right, and which, you know, makes me think even more, this kid needs to, like, he needs to seriously be in the talk of MVP, because that was a totally different team when he went out of the game.
Tyreek.
It was, yes, from a play call standpoint, it, you know, McDaniel sometimes didn't know what he, it seemed like he didn't know what he was doing to it, seemed flustered. Then when Tyreek comes back in, things magically start working again. Then he goes right. back out, and they go back to doing nothing. But the Titans eventually went and took that game. But, again, and I said this earlier, Caroline and Willie, when you were with the Preds at Skate, this is Tim Kelly's win. This is Will Levis's win. This is Shane Bowen's win. Only thing I give Vrabel this go around is going for two, deciding to go for two. Now it doesn't. Again, we talked about it. This win doesn't change what I think about Vrabel. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. I think he's a good coach. I didn't think he needed to be fired, but I think his feet need to be held to the fire, considering what has happened last season and what was happening this season. But this game, if you look at the way it was played from a play call standpoint. This was Tim Kelly. This was a Tim Kelly. This is where he earned his money. Just like what you call it, had the one game last season. Green
Todd
Bay.
Downing.
Yeah, Todd Downing had that one game, and everybody praised Todd Downing, and rightfully so.
For a couple hours.
Exactly, for a couple hours.
Yep.
But everybody praised him, rightfully so, because that was such a well-called game. Tim Kelly did the exact same thing this game. They did not chase. They did not panic. They stayed within their offense. And when the big shots was there to take, they took it.
I'm interested to see what Tim Hasselbeck saw, his takeaways from those games, what he saw from Will Levis last night. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
FinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit FinQuest.com for more details.